Williams. I have such a great show for you today. And I can say that because it's an interview and the show is great, not because of what I'm saying, but because of what my guest Chris has to say. He was an Amazon engineer, left Amazon, a great job, and went to start a company for the kingdom. He gets into his philosophy of having Jesus as the customer and how everything that he is doing with his company, he's doing it for the kingdom of God. It's such an encouragement. This interview is going to be amazing. I can't wait for you to hear it. So go over to CrossPolitik, become a member, help us continue to roll out new shows, great content, and further the kingdom of God, declare the lordship of Jesus in every area of life, and you'll get great benefits. You'll see exclusive content, all that stuff. Follow me on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, How to Build a Tent. You can find me on Periscope. Follow CrossPolitik as well. Share this show with people. This will be an encouragement because of what Chris is going to say in our interview today. So without any further ado, let's get into it. Chris Lim, welcome to the show. You are the founder of Theotech. You are up in Washington.
I'm in Seattle.
Seattle. Very cool. So tell us a little bit about yourself and your background.
Sure. Well, I think that the meaningful story would begin back in 2010 or so, where I was a software engineer at Amazon. I was there for about 3.5 years, and Amazon has a leadership principle called customer obsession. Leaders begin with the customer, work backwards. And so during my time at Amazon, I actually convened a group of Christians to study those leadership principles and compare them with the Bible to see if following them helps us to follow Christ and vice versa, if following Christ helps us to succeed in a company like Amazon. And kind of the really good news is that actually God is using companies like Amazon to help make disciples, because in following those things, a lot of things align with the Bible. And in fact, if you want to follow Christ, you're helping companies like Amazon live up to its own leadership principles and to fulfill that purpose. So that's how it all started for me. But during my time there, when I did that Bible study, I brought a question up with the group asking, guys, what if God is our customer? What if we obsess over what God desires, work backwards, and invent technology that delivers the outcomes that God wants?
And can I stop you right there for a second? So you had a Bible study at Amazon?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
What was that like?
Actually, it was, you know, I grew up I went to University of Washington. I learned from Campus Crusade crew, it wasn't as big of a deal or a scary thing to try to do that. And, you know, we would still do our work. So it's simply that we would have lunch together. We would just have lunch together, and there's rooms that we can book, like a conference room or whatever. And for employees, it's totally fine. That's a normal thing to do. And, you know, I think the first year while I was there at Amazon, there was very few Christians that I knew in the company. So it was kind of lonely. Mm-hmm. But the Lord did something where, as my second year, all these friends I had from college and other people that started showing up even on my floor. And I'd be like, oh, cool. You know, like, we have friends now, and there's things that we can do. So it wasn't a really big, tall order. It was just something that was also on my mind, thinking about how we are not just consumers of technology, we're creators of it. And so there's something unique there for us to do, studying the theology of technology. How do we create foretastes of God's kingdom through what we build, both inside the company and outside of the company? So that was kind of the motivation for it. And there's just a lot of room for fruitful discussion that you would never get at a conventional church or a small group. Mm-hmm. And I think that the group also became, as you can imagine, more of like a support time too, where we just prayed for each other, encouraged each other through all the kind of ups and downs that you go through. But that's how it started. It was just a few friends, and I would promote it on there's a Christian interest mailing list inside the company, and I would promote it there, and people would come. And when we did this series, it was very popular, actually, because it, you know, directly aligns with people's careers and their faith. And so to see if there's an alignment between that and your faith is actually a really helpful thing. And also, where does it not align? You know, where is it that you're going to have to be different, or, you know, bear witness? And through that study, which is online, available for people if they want to read it, it's at my blog. We can link to it later. It just basically helps to clarify those boundaries and help Christians to be able to live with a clear conscience and to succeed in a place like Amazon.
Very cool. I think so many times we buy into that, where you need to keep religion, politics, and all that important stuff separate from the work and not bring that into work at all. But I think that's such the opposite approach of what God wants for us, because we're at work so much of our lives, right? And God wants us to redeem our work for the kingdom, like you're mentioning.
Absolutely. Yeah. And as a Christian, like, if you can't do that, then your faith is very kind of disintegrated, actually. Mm-hmm. You can't actually live your faith authentically if you have to kind of wall it off when you go to the workplace.
Right.
And I think the big news that's amazing is that Christians are a blessing for Amazon. For those who want to follow Christ, they actually will live up to those principles and help the company to live up to its own principles. And so we end up becoming salt and light for something that the company itself desires,
mm-hmm.
For something like customer obsession. And the way I put it when I share this with Christians is like, if you're not obsessed over your customers, who are you probably obsessing over? As a business owner, you're probably obsessing over yourself.
Yeah.
You're worried about your finances, your money, your employees, your vendors, your customers are not growing, or whatever it is. And so this principle is actually a way that we practice the golden rule and the kind of the greatest commandment, which mm-hmm. is to love your neighbor as yourself, to love God with all of our being. It's so powerful for us to kind of come out of ourselves and obsess over someone else who's more important.
Definitely.
For Amazon, it's customers, and for Christians, for us, it's God. So that's, I see it as very mutually blessing, mutually
for
beneficial.
Sure. Yeah, isn't it funny? It almost seems semantical, but it's really not. Just a slight difference or major difference that seems slight of focusing on yourself and your needs, starting a company for yourself or whatever, and then the opposite of looking how to serve and love and bless people. And that just takes you on a completely different path.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah. So Theotech is the company. What is your core product?
So our company does several things, but the core product that we actually make money from is called Spiffio. And Spiffio is basically a real-time translation solution and also accessibility. So we empower people who are organizing events to make it available to people in any language and in any modality. So if you are deaf or blind or hard of hearing, you can get captions or you can get audio description of what's happening. And if you speak another language, you can get subtitles of what's being said from the stage on your phone in real time and hear it read to you as well. Or we can loop in a human interpreter who's working remotely to provide that interpretation. And so that's what the core product is. And the dream for it, though, the way that it begins with God as a customer really has stemmed from Revelation 7, where the vision that God gave to the Apostle John was of a kingdom that's composed of people from many languages, many nations, many tribes, worshiping together as one. And for myself, when I consider that's my customer's vision, and you look around at most of our world today, it's very segregated. Mm-hmm. Some of it's segregated by race and culture, and a lot of it is practically segregated because of language. And so we wanted to say, what if we could invent technology that could bridge that barrier, not really destroy it, just bridge it, and to help churches to, in a small way, reflect God's kingdom in the present day. So it becomes a part of their witness.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we built this technology. It's already being used today. It's used at the denominational level. It's been used in the local church level. And it's kind of, we're beginning to see the fruit of it, how it starts to transform things. Because as you know, technology opens people's eyes to new possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's kind of the big thing. In the past, you know, the best you had is an interpreter maybe sitting in a booth and talking to five headsets, and it's really difficult to grow a multilingual ministry. But now with technology and partly with AI and partly with humans, you can now scale up to like 10 languages for your service by next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And you can start, and then the real problem is no longer kind of a practical problem. It's more of a marketing problem. It's
yeah.
like for so long we've been segregated. You don't have those relationships with the people in your community who speak other languages and are part of other cultures. Now that you have the technology, it's possible. But now it's that work of outreach, right? And building those
yeah.
relationships and having a vision of being a community together that would reflect the kingdom. So that's what our core product is Spiffio for the church and also to bless the world, but beginning with the church as our first customer.
You're having God as your customer, having just the right mindset of looking to bring a taste or a foretaste, as you say it, of the kingdom. Because it's not just about making sales and making a profit anymore. There's an added blessing of seeing the kingdom expanded and seeing those barriers broken down. That's amazing. That's really
Thank
cool.
Thank you, yeah. And for us, you know, we believe if we can align our marketing efforts with God's kingdom, then actually what we're doing when we're marketing our product is also partly evangelism. Not
yeah.
just product evangelism, but kingdom evangelism.
Right.
Because if customers love this experience, if even non-believers come to a church where it's like this and they're like, this is so powerful, how could these people be together? What they're really craving or loving is this is what it's like when Christ is in charge, when Christ is Lord, right? This is what it's like when people are loving one another as Christ commanded. And so we consider it like this is a way to align our marketing with God's kingdom so that we kind of get the benefit of both.
So your main customer is the church. What is it like to work with churches? Like, what are some of the characteristics, what struggles maybe, I don't know, opportunities?
It's funny because the majority of churches that I've experienced and worked with, you know, in business, you have B2C, business to customer or consumer, and you have B2B, business to business. And it tends to be that B2C, you have a lot smaller revenue, but you have a lot volume. And the decision is really quick because the customer just decides for themselves, do I want this or not? And then B2B is usually a long sales cycle where you have to wait a long time for a lot of different stakeholders to come together to make a decision. But usually the contracts are bigger, so it's, you know, it kind of balances out. Yeah. I would say that, unfortunately, a lot of churches are a B2C customer size, like in terms of how much money it is, but they're a B2B customer decision-making process because they're like, there's like a board, you have to get all this buy-in.
Right.
And so from a very practical perspective, that makes it so challenging because what are we going to do? You know, like they want all this like white glove customer service sales kind of thing, but at the end, the contract's only worth like, you know, what one single consumer would pay for a product. It doesn't economically work out.
Right.
And so that's been one of the, I think, the major difficulties. But what we believe is that we have, like, this is part of our business. Like, we have to figure out how do we make that work? Because if we can, then we can serve a very wide scope and long tail of customers, right? People who are not just individuals, but also who are in organizations and groups who are low resource, all the way up to, you know, big companies, if we are able to actually solve that problem. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't think that we have a real good, strong solution yet. There's some very practical things that we've tried to do in, you know, the way that we create our marketing and training and stuff. So it tries to scale more, try to reduce the amount of handholding we have to do.
Right.
And I think that part of the real advantage of the church, on the other hand, so those are some of the major disadvantages that make it so hard. And besides that, of course, is that most churches are not really at the forefront of technology. So there's a really difficult, steep kind of training and adoption and customer education curve you have to overcome.
Yeah, they're at the far end of the adoption curve, that's for sure.
And exactly. And you know what? I don't think it should be that way. You know, there was a time where Christians were the ones at universities who were basically doing research because of their theological convictions and kind of leading the forefront. I think that we can get back to a place like that, but not if we're stuck in the mindset of like, oh, technology is for everybody else and, you know, the world or whatever, and we're just going to do our worship in our small group thing and kind of isolate ourselves. Like, that's not going to be effective either. But I think churches can be the innovators. I really believe that because of our theological convictions, because of the vision of God's kingdom, and because of the kind of turmoil and disruption that we're all experiencing right now with technology, churches have the opportunity not to buckle down on what they've done in the past, but to live into that future, to say, you know what, this is a great opportunity for us now with technology to start welcoming our neighbors of all these diversity and show what it's like for us to actually love one another and worship together the way that God's kingdom is like. And because of that, even though there are all these other challenges economically and everything else like that, the church has embedded within it the drive and the willingness to sacrifice and the willingness to experiment and fail and everything else like that. I think it's in the DNA. Now, culturally, we may not be practicing it right now, but I've seen it there. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times what we find is this. We'll find a layperson who really believes in this, who's like a champion, basically. And our job then is, how do we empower that layperson to communicate that vision of what's possible for their local community, for their church? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's really hard. You know, the pastoral staff or people who are the decision makers may view it as like, why are you encroaching on our decision making? Or it may be like, you know, we don't need this right now. We have all these other struggles to work with. But the more and more I've seen it, I've seen that the Lord is using those lay people and sometimes the pastors too, who have that vision to say, you know what, this is like, the status quo is not acceptable. And if we just try to kind of problem solve all the time, it's not going to work either. We need something that's not incrementally improving because everything around us is disrupted. This is like what God's calling us to. So when we find those people, they tend to have the perseverance to kind of go through that whole process of change that's so challenging and to persuade people to not give up. Mm-hmm. And they also tend to have that ability to recruit people to their cause and say, you know what, this is important for our community and our future as a church.
Yeah.
And we've just seen the Lord open up doors like that. So I hope that answers the question, where I think that I really strongly believe in the people who are in the church. Uh-huh. I see it. God's using, the Holy Spirit is working in them and using it. And the challenges tend to be that structural, the decision-making, the practical business side of things that make it hard to, you know, to grow fast and to run fast in this space.
Yeah, that's an interesting challenge, because really you usually have a decision maker being a board or even just a single pastor, depending on what kind of church it is. And you kind of have to sell to them like they have business sense and they kind of can have a vision to buy into, but sometimes they don't even have that. They're focused and for good or bad, who knows, but they're more focused on feeding the sheep and the word of God and things like that, opposed to how do I grow my congregation or things like that. Usually, I don't know. So that's an interesting challenge.
And you know what? We have a lot to learn, I think. We have to learn more about, like, they're not in the same position as we are, where we're at the forefront of the technology frontiers to see what's possible. Yeah. So our job is to help them to see what's possible, because I think that even though pastors may not want to say, oh, we want to focus on growth or something, they all want the gospel to reach people in their language.
Yeah.
And if it was possible, they would not want to turn people away from their local church community just because they don't speak their language. Mm-hmm. So I think their heart is probably set for things like this. They just don't realize how possible it is, and the change might feel overwhelming, and so they don't even want to try.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's so many applications of what you guys are just selling alone. I come from Orange County, California, where there's so many different types of churches that are based on just the language that you speak. There's the mm-hmm. Korean church, the Chinese church, the Spanish churches and things like that. And even if it's more, I mean, not even if, but more than just a church service of getting together as the body with all these groups that wouldn't possibly be able to before, and just come together once a month, once a quarter. Like, there's so mm-hmm. many more things that you can do with this technology. That's what's so exciting to have, and I love that you are on to share your product and your vision, because there's so much that God can do in the church with your product. It's really exciting.
Thanks for the affirmation. It's encouraging.
Yeah, for sure. We all need encouragement. Business is hard.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, for sure. So if you could exhort the church, and you've kind of touched on it already, but from a business perspective, what would you encourage people in the church who are maybe thinking of starting a company or are starting a company and they're going through the tough times and need some exhortation mm-hmm. or whatever? What advice, what exhortation would you give fellow Christians?
A little bit. I know what I believe the message that God has given me to share is to invite Christians to make God their customer. Mm-hmm. That one has been very clear to me, because in our consumerist culture, where kind of the consumer is king or the customer is king, making God your customer is the way that it's not idolatry.
Wow, right? That's great.
So that's, I want to encourage any business owner to say, make God your customer. And practically speaking, you can think of it very concretely, where it's like, if you had, let's say, like a taco truck or something like that, something really concrete, mm-hmm. and Jesus were actually to show up at your taco stand and want to buy your food, what kind of experience would you want to give him? And how would that affect what you're making and how you make it, the ingredients you're using, everything you're preparing, and how would it affect how you're marketing it and all those things? Like, that simple fact that Christ incarnated and became a human makes it very, in some ways, easy for us to start to imagine, to dream if he were to show up and be our customer. So we apply that principle in our product to say, like, you know, if you're Jesus showing up at church and you have to get this translation thing, like, what kind of experience we want to give you? Or if you're Jesus preaching the Sermon on the Mount and you want to reach people in many languages, what kind of experience we want to give you? Mm-hmm. So I think it's very fertile ground for imagination. When it comes to the encouragement part, maybe this helps, maybe it doesn't. Like, you know, the scriptures say, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, because the Lord knows what we need. And for me, this entrepreneurial journey has been testing that and proving it in my life. And that doesn't mean it's easy. There's plenty of days where it feels depressing and you just kind of consider, what would it have been like if I stayed at Amazon, for example,
yeah, right.
You know, and the money and everything like that. Uh-huh. But, that's exactly what it takes for my faith to actually be tested. That's what I felt it like as a business person and everything. It's like, this is how I know that, you know, I don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Like, God is Amen. Truly the provider, not oh. my energy and effort and everything else. All the stuff that I'm doing that's not really what's providing. It's God. And so I would not be able to know that, except that I had to leave the safety net of having an amazing job with, you know, great income and everything, and dived into this journey. So I've seen that God's used that to disciple me. And I will share this on your podcast. I don't share it widely because I think God provides differently for everybody. Mm-hmm. But when I started at Amazon, the shares were about at $123. Today, they kind of tanked, but they're still at about $1,700. Uh-huh. And so I didn't know that was going to happen when I left. But that's been, in my life, kind of like God's Elijah's oil, where I would sell some to provide for what I needed, and somehow it would come back. It would grow. It would just, there would be enough. And so I share that as a testimony, not that it's going to happen for all your Christian business owners' lives, mm-hmm. just simply that in my particular case, that's one way that the Lord has done it, has provided for what we needed so we could continue this journey of seeking his kingdom first and producing the fruit that he wants to see. So I would encourage Christians who are struggling with the provision side just to be open to say, you know, the Lord will provide, and it may not always be the way that we think it must be. Mm-hmm. And there's natural ways that we'll provide through customers, which is always the healthiest thing for a business in general, is to have great, happy customers who are paying for it. But for a season, he may be that investor, incubator, high-risk VC person who is actually enabling you to take those risks, do the experiments, suffer the losses, but at the end, be able to start delivering that fruit that he wants to see. Mm.
So good. All right, Chris Lim, thank you for joining us. For listeners, where can they find you? Where can they tell their pastors about your product?
Well, thank you for asking that. if you're interested in Spiffio, then the website is RealTimePF.io.
And that's the translation software?
Yep, the real-time translation and accessibility software. So even if you don't have people who need language, maybe you need captioning for the deaf or something, or hard of hearing, that's another kind of solution for you. So that's spf.io.
And we'll put that in the show notes too.
Awesome, yeah.
Cool.
And then theotech.org is where you can learn more about this bigger picture dream of seeing lots of Christian entrepreneurs and technologists using their gifts for the gospel.
Great. And do you want to throw out any social media accounts?
Social media.
And Twitter or anything?
You can follow my Twitter.
There we go.
My Twitter is at Merit and Grace. MeritAndGrace.
Great. Awesome. Thank you so much. This was a real blessing. And you have a lot of wisdom. It was great to hear from you.
Thank you so much, Matt.
You're welcome. Have
great
a good day.
You too.
Take
Bye.
Care. Bye. Wasn't that interview amazing? Chris is so wise. He had so much great stuff for us. Please go follow him on Twitter. Go check out his company. Share his company with your pastor. Share his company with your elder board, with that nonprofit that is looking to reach out to multiple languages. There are so many awesome things that we're going to be able to do and can do with his company and his technology that he's developed. So go help him, support a brother, and you will bless him and be blessed yourself. With that, we'll talk to you next time. God bless.